Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about oil and gas production coming out of Russia. Russia has announced that it will be cutting back on its oil production and its gas production in 2023 as a direct result of the sanctions and the price caps that have now been applied against Russian energy. So in today's episode, I'll go through the announcement that the Russian authorities have made. We'll have a look at what's been happening to Russian oil prices since the price cap was imposed on December the 5th. We'll have a look at the relationship between oil and gas and Russian GDP. And then we'll have a look at what's been going on with regards to the Russian ruble over the course of the last few weeks, because things have started to deteriorate in terms of its value. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 3 to 6 months with regards to Russian revenues from oil and gas and what the impact of that is going to be on the Russian economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you haven't got time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. Really appreciate it. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Alexander Novak has announced that Russia may cut oil output by up to 7% in early 2023 as it responds to price caps on its crude and refined products and halts sales to countries that support them. He went on to say that the cuts could reach 700,000 barrels per day. We believe that in the current situation, it is even possible to take risks of lower production rather than be guided by the selling policy regarding the price caps. Today it is $60, tomorrow it can be anything, and getting dependent on some decisions made by unfriendly countries is unacceptable to us. And Russian President Vladimir Putin followed this by saying he would issue a decree early next week on Moscow's actions in response to the price cap. Novak said that this decree would ban sales of oil and oil products to countries that join the price cap and companies that demand its observance. The recently imposed sanctions have had a big impact on Russian exports in December, which are expected to fall by around 20%. According to Traders Data, Urals export from the Baltic Sea ports will probably fall by around 5 million tonnes in December from 6 million tonnes in November. However, some estimates are as low as 4.7 million tonnes. In addition to the oil reductions, Alexander Novak went on to state that natural gas production and exports will also fall in 2022. Gas production by the end of the year will be 12% less than in 2021, and exports will drop by around a quarter. This is primarily due to the shutdown of export infrastructure, he said in an interview with the Russian news agency TASS. He went on to state that LNG production will increase by 8.7% in 2022. This chart shows the price of Russian crude oil over the course of the last 12 months. So if you follow the channel, I'm sure you'll be familiar with the Brent crude oil price chart that we look at on a regular basis. And when we look at that chart, we see a big spike in March following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Prices then stayed high at around $100 per barrel for around 4 months. But over the course of the last few months, we have seen a reduction in oil prices as a result of the global slowdown. As the economy has slowed down, demand for oil has reduced. And as you know from simple economics, when demand reduces, that generally brings prices down. Now, the chart for Russian oil prices is slightly different. We did see an increase in prices in March following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. However, what we can see in this graph is that in the 3 months following the invasion, the price of Russian oil actually fell. And that was due to a combination of a couple of factors. Firstly, a number of countries came out and stipulated that they no longer wanted to buy Russian oil. And a variety of other countries stated their intention to stop buying Russian oil, but the practicalities meant that they had to keep buying in the short term until they could locate alternative suppliers. Now, in order to offset this reduction in demand, what Russia did was offer large discounts in the market to the countries that were prepared to keep buying. So you can see that initially, in the few months after the invasion, the price of Russian oil actually fell significantly and hit a low of around $68 on the 25th of April. And at that time, the global price for oil was sitting at around $100. Now, between April and June, the discounts being offered by Russia actually started to reduce. and by the middle of June, the price of a barrel of Russian oil was trading for around $100. However, over the course of the last few months, we have seen a gradual reduction in that price as a result of the slowdown in global demand. And this chart actually plots the discount against the market value. So you can see that back in April, the discount was sitting at more than $35 per barrel. However, by August, that discount had reduced to around $24. But since the outright ban on the purchase of all Russian oil from European countries was introduced on December the 5th, alongside the oil price cap of $60, the discount has now widened again and is currently sitting at around $30 per barrel. And if we jump back to the price chart, you can see that the most recent price for a barrel of Russian oil is sitting at around $57, which compares to the market price of around $80. And I think the price of $57 is really interesting because the oil price cap is actually sitting at $60. So if Russia was to comply with the terms of the oil price cap and sell oil to all of the countries who want to buy it using the cap, they would be achieving $60 right now compared to $57 that they're actually achieving on their own mechanism. So they're actually selling at a lower price than the cap, but they deliberately don't want to comply with that cap because they don't want all of the terms and conditions to be tied in going forward, because the West could decide to reduce the cap further in the future, and that would therefore reduce the amount of revenue that Russia is receiving. Now, in terms of the importance of oil and gas to the Russian economy, this chart shows the direct link to gross domestic product in Russia, dating back to the start of 2017. Now, if we look at the figures for 2018, because that year was unaffected by COVID and was a period when countries were happy to buy Russian oil, you can see that oil and gas revenues equated to over 20% of total GDP for Russia during that period. Now, through the course of the COVID pandemic, the percentages did drop significantly, but that was as a result of a global reduction in demand for oil. We all stopped doing things. People were not going out in their cars. Nobody was going to work. All of the airlines around the world were grounded. So there was a massive fall in demand for oil, and therefore there was a fall in revenues. And as we're looking at oil and gas revenues as a percentage of GDP here, then the percentage obviously fell during that period. But as we went into 2021 and the world started to bounce back, you can see that the percentages picked up again. And at the start of 2022, the oil and gas industry contributed 21.7% of total GDP in Russia. Now, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the sanctions that have been applied against Russia and the discounts that we just talked about from the previous graphs, you can see that the percentage of oil and gas revenues to total GDP has started to fall. And in the last two quarters, it's fallen significantly. In Q2 22, it dropped from 21.7% to 20.2%. And in Q3 2022, it's dropped to 17.6%. So you can see the scale of the problem for Russia, because as the oil and gas industry contracts and the revenues reduce, that is having a direct impact on Russian GDP and therefore the Russian economy. So as that industry gets smaller, so does the Russian economy. This chart shows the exchange rate between the US dollar and the Russian ruble over the course of the last 12 months. This time last year, one US dollar was trading for around 73 Russian rubles, and that figure remained relatively stable up until Russia's invasion of Ukraine, when we saw an initial crash in the value of the ruble, and it was trading at one point for over 130 rubles for $1. However, due to a combination of support from the Russian central bank and also a huge contraction in the volume of trading for Russian rubles, not many countries in the world are looking to buy Russian rubles right now. And therefore, as the market's reduced, the Russian central bank has been able to stabilize the price. The Russian ruble strengthened significantly and at one point was trading for around 50 rubles to one US dollar. And over the course of the last few months, the exchange rate has stabilized at around 60 rubles to $1. However, if we look at what's happened over the course of the last month, you can see that there's been a significant deterioration in the value of the ruble. On December the 4th, which was the day before the European ban on Russian oil purchases and the oil price cap were both introduced, the ruble was trading for 59.5 against the dollar. However, today it's now trading above 68 rubles. So this represents a fall in value of over 15% over the course of the last few weeks. And this is as a direct result of the sanctions that are being applied and the lack of demand for Russian oil. Because the reason that there is some demand for Russian rubles is that countries around the world are doing deals with Russia in rubles rather than in US dollars or euros. Russia is trying to raise the profile of the ruble to get it to be equivalent to the US dollar in global terms. So therefore, it wants countries to do trades in rubles. But as demand for Russian oil and gas is falling and the production is falling, as we talked about earlier in the video, then that means that the value of the ruble is also starting to deteriorate. And that's exactly what we've seen over the course of the last few weeks. Now, if demand for Russian oil and gas continues to fall over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, it's likely that we will see a continuation in this deterioration in the value of the ruble. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because we've talked a lot about what might happen to Russian gas production. And one of the issues for Russia, particularly with oil, is that it needs to keep that production moving because a lot of these oil fields are in inhospitable places. They're in places where the climate is very cold in the winter. So if you stop that flow, if you allow all of that oil to sit under the ground, then there's potential issues that could arise there in terms of being affected by that cold, having crystals appear in the oil. And then when you want to switch the production back on, you may find that you've got blockages or that everything is sealed up. And so this could be seriously problematic from Russia's perspective. And then when you combine that with the loss of technology that Russia has experienced over the course of the last 12 months, because of the sanctions that have been applied, a lot of their partners pulled out of the market. So we saw BP, Shell, ExxonMobil, all deciding to exit entirely. So they took with them all of their engineers, all of their software, all of their expertise. So if Russia does switch off its production or even just scales it back and then encounters software problems or issues with its technology, it's not necessarily going to be able to solve those problems quickly or even at all. So this could be a double whammy from Russia's perspective. So Russia has been trying to keep that production high to keep everything flowing. And the last thing that it wants is a global fall in demand because it doesn't have anywhere to be able to store that oil. It's simply not possible. So if it's not selling the oil, the only other option it has is to cut back on production. And in today's video, we've heard that Russia is now looking at a 7% reduction in oil for 2023. And 7% is a serious amount because Russia is producing over 10 million barrels of oil every single day. So a cutback could be 700,000 barrels of oil that it pulls back on a daily basis. That is a lot of oil. And as we said, that could then cause major problems for the whole industry in Russia. So this isn't just a loss of revenue position. This could potentially cause Russia to have production problems going forward and therefore could have a really big impact on the revenues. But on the issue of revenue, if Russia is cutting back 700,000 barrels per day, all of those barrels will be for the export market because it's not seeing a massive fall in demand internally. So if we say 700,000 barrels times $60, which is the oil price cap, that's the price that the world is happy for Russia to sell that at, that equates to lost revenue of $42 million per day for Russia. So this is a serious chunk of change. That's a lot of cash. But Russia has come out and stated that it won't deal with any country that complies with the oil price cap. But what's going to be really fascinating is to see what the response to that is going to be from all of the countries around the world. Because Russia can't afford for everybody to stop buying their oil, because that would mean they'd have to stop the vast majority of their production. And that really would cause them a problem, both from a production perspective, but more importantly, from a revenue point of view. So President Putin's playing a game of poker here. He's calling everybody's bluff and saying, what are you going to do? If we say we won't give the oil to you if you impose the cap, will you just abandon the cap and buy the oil from us anyway? And if the countries around the world say that they don't want to do that, then Russia's going to have serious problems. And the main reason that most countries will be thinking about applying the price cap is because of secondary sanctions. Because if they don't agree with the cap, they run the risk of the West saying, actually, if you're going to carry on dealing with Russia and ignore our price cap, then we'll have to apply sanctions against you and we'll stop buying your goods and we'll stop selling things to you. And from India and China's point of view, as the two biggest markets that Russia is looking to sell into, that is a really big risk. And we've already seen a number of companies already come out and say that they don't want to run the risk of secondary sanctions and therefore they're not going to deal with Russia. So whilst Russia doesn't want everybody to sign up to the cap, they may find that it's inevitable that all the countries do agree to it because they don't want to lose the trade with the West. Because Russia, relatively, is a small country. It only has a population of around 145 million out of 8 billion in the world. Now, it does have a lot of energy reserves, but you can buy that energy from elsewhere. So it is possible for the world to carry on without Russia, but it's not possible for Russia to carry on without the rest of the world. So it will be really interesting to see what happens with regards to that price cap, because if the rest of the world does sign up to it and Russia follows through with its threat not to supply any of those countries, it could find that it's having to cut back even more on its production, and that's going to have a disastrous impact on revenue. But of course, the other thing to bear in mind here is that we're seeing a global fall in oil prices. As we go towards a recession in 2023, demand is falling and therefore oil prices are coming down. Now, Russian oil prices are coming down faster than global prices because they're still selling at a discount. Whether it be the oil price cap causing that discount or Russia having to just cut its prices to agree some deals doesn't really make any difference. It's selling at a lower price than everybody else in the world, but it's benchmarked to that global price. So if we see oil prices coming down to $70 per barrel or $60 or $50 over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, then Russian prices will be falling even further. They may go down to $40 or $30 per barrel. And that's going to hurt the Russian economy, because in 2022, it's made some exceptionally large profits because oil prices were at exceptionally high levels. But as they come back down to a more normalized level, Russia is going to feel that pain because it's having to cut its production at the same time as oil prices are falling. So there's a double impact here. Reduced volume and reduced price means total revenue is reducing. And that, of course, is going to hurt the Russian economy because, as we just saw, it equates to around 20% of Russian GDP. So as that revenue contracts, so does the Russian economy. So all of this is really bad news for Russia. And the other thing that we saw at the start of the video is Russia is also pulling back on its gas production because the EU no longer wants to buy Russian gas. A lot of countries have already stopped buying, but many others like Germany and Italy are phasing it out. They're bringing on LNG capacity so that they don't have to keep taking that pipeline gas. And Russia isn't able to sell that anywhere else because in order to export gas to other countries, it needs to convert it into liquefied natural gas. And it doesn't have the infrastructure in place to be able to convert that volume into LNG. So Russia will see a further reduction in revenue from its gas sales in 2023 because it's not able to simply substitute pipeline gas for LNG. And then the final point that we talked about today was the decline in value of the Russian ruble. And we've seen that since the price cap and the ban of European purchases of oil came into place on December the 5th, there's been a marked deterioration in the Russian ruble. And as we go forward into 2023, that trend could continue as we see demand for Russian energy products contracting. Then it may well be that the Russian ruble continues to fall and may go back towards the levels that we saw following Russia's initial invasion of Ukraine. So the overall summary from today's video is that the sanctions are now really starting to hurt Russia. We're seeing falls in revenue and we're seeing reductions in production of oil and gas, which have been the two main contributors to the Russian economy over the course of the last 20 years. So it'll be really fascinating to see what happens as we go through 2023, whether Russia does agree to that oil price cap or if it sticks to its guns and stops supplying everybody that signs up to it. And if it does that, how many countries are actually left trading with it by the end of 2023. So hopefully you found today's episode useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.